Good morning, everybody. Good morning, everybody in the sanctuary. Good morning, everybody who is joining us online on Facebook and on YouTube. Good morning, because this is the day that the Lord has made. Amen. Shall we rejoice and be glad in it? Amen. Amen. For those of you who are tuning in for the first time, this is Taylor's Tabernacle. We are a Bible-based church in West Philadelphia. Our pastor is Jonathan E. Ford. Amen? Amen. And we're glad you can join us. For everyone who's visiting, for everyone who's going to watch it later, for everyone who's visiting in the sanctuary, welcome to the Lord's house. Amen? Amen. Amen. So I'm going to get us started this morning. We're going to open up, as we always should, with some prayer. Amen? So if we could all stand. Thank you, Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that despite all that has been going on every day, you've watched over us. You said you'd never leave us nor forsake us, and you haven't. Despite all the turmoil that has been going on in our government, despite all the turmoil that has been going on in the streets, in our lives, we have dealt with some stuff. But we can always turn to you, Christ Jesus. For you, Lord, say, peace, be still, and calm all that is going on. We thank you, Lord, knowing that we can always call on you, that we can always hold on to you, and make it through. Lord, reach out to someone right now who is in unstable situations. Let them hear your word this morning. Bring them through those doors. Let them tune in on Facebook or YouTube and hear your preached word. And know there is a way out. There is a solution. There is a truth, and that is you, Christ Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. For you've always brought us through. You have always provided. When we had doubt one day, when we look back at it now and realize that our Lord and Savior brought us through that. Lord, you brought us through even when we were growing up and didn't know you at all. We knew who you were, but we didn't seek after you. And we didn't confess with our mouth and believe in our heart. We thank you, Lord, for watching over us then and now. And we ask that you would anoint our pastor this morning, that your preached word would come out of his mouth. And we ask that you would anoint us this morning, our ears and our hearts, that we would hear the word you have prepared, and that our hearts would be receptive. Lord, please don't let us become stony ground. Don't let the weeds and the tares take away the seed that you are writing on our hearts. For it is your word, your truth, that will always be with us. That the Holy Spirit will tap into that word that you've written on our hearts. And that our faith would increase. We thank you right now, Lord Jesus. You are welcome into this house. You are welcome into our hearts. Give us your word this morning, and let us be edified. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Amen. If somebody needs to come in, go ahead and come in, then I'll get to our scripture. Amen. While they're coming in, I'm going to be reading from Psalms 20. Amen. Psalms 20. I'm going to be reading the first five verses. Amen. I'm giving everyone a chance to get in. They get situated. Amen. 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 If we could remain standing for the reading of God's word. And the word of God reads as follows. And I'm going to read the part that's in parentheses. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice. Selah. Grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation. And in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Amen. 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 So before we bring out our pastor, I'm going to have our sister Leah Reed come up to give us a sermonic selection. Amen. Amen. She's been blessing us with her voice. Amen.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good to be in the house of the Lord with our Taylor family once again. Hallelujah. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know thus saith the Lord. For Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, and how I prove him over and over. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, and oh, for grace to trust him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust him. Precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that he is with me, will be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, and how I prove him over and over. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, and oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, and in simple faith to plunge me 'neath the healing, cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I Jesus, Jesus. Precious Jesus. And oh, for grace to trust Him more.
Come on, let's give Sister Leah Reed a hand. Thank God, what a gift to the body of Christ she is. The more and more I hear her sing, the more and more I realize she sounds just like her mother. I was like, is that Pastor DeLoach? Did she sneak in here? But no, thank God for her and her wonderful contribution to the body of Christ, her faithfulness coming to serve and worship with us. This morning, if you have your Bibles, I'm going to invite you. We're going to go straight to the Word of God. We're going to conclude our series in Mark chapter 6, the sixth chapter, the Gospel of Mark, that final story, one of my favorite stories. Jesus walking on the water, chapter 6, verse 45 through 52. How are we looking? We got it, everybody? We got it these days with these electronic devices. Before I say it, y'all already have it. Let's add to the witness out of the Old Testament. Exodus, the third chapter, verse 14. Amen. Exodus 3:14. I'm going to invite you to stand with me. I'm going to be reading out of the New King James Version. I do want to take a moment to say, before we jump into the Word of God, to express my sincere appreciation to everyone for last Sunday. What a wonderful pastoral anniversary. Thank God to each and every one of you, those who participated in the service, those who helped get things ready, those who cleaned up afterwards. Thank you to all of those for the gifts, the cards, the texts, the emails of kind words and encouragement. Really, really appreciate it. Thank you so much last Sunday for praying for my family and I. So often as a pastor, my role is to pray for others, and very infrequently is there an opportunity to receive prayer. So what a blessing that was on last Sunday to have you as the church to pray for my family and I. I appreciate it, and I love you all. Amen. Let's turn our attention to the Word of God. Mark 6:45 says, immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he sent the multitude away. When he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. Now, when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on land. And then he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Now, about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea, and would have passed them by. And when they, referring to the disciples in the boat, saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. But immediately he talked with them and said to them, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. And then he went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased. And they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure, and also marveled, for they had not understood about the loaves, because their heart was hardened. Amen. And that's as far as we'll go with that. Amen. Hey, let's add to the witness out of the book of Exodus, one of my favorite passages. Exodus, the third chapter. Let's add the 13th verse in there, and just we'll flow down in the 14. Then Moses
said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers have sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? How do I refer to you? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity we have to huddle around the word of God on another Lord's Sunday morning. We thank you that your word is true. We thank you that you are faithful to your word and to your children. So, Father, I ask now that you would give us eyes to see, give us ears to hear, and give us a heart to believe the word of God. This is our prayer. We ask it now in Christ's name for his sake. And all of God's people say amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Reverend Curitan, if you could turn the volume up just a little bit so I can hear myself just a little bit more, that'd be helpful. So here we have this passage, Jesus walking on the water, very familiar story. And I really just want to point out a few simple items out of this text that I believe would be helpful and could encourage us this Sunday morning. Okay? Before we get into this particular text, I just want to remind you about the last text we talked about, which is the feeding of the 5,000. The feeding of the 5,000 has just concluded. Okay? So this is all happening in the same day and in the same time period. This is not a story that happened one day and now this is happening. This is one continuum. Okay? They came over on the boat. When they got to the boat, all the people started gathering to the seashore. The Bible said Jesus had compassion on them. Instead of it being a day of rest and recuperation for his disciples, a time of fellowship with his disciples, because of the growing crowd, the Bible said he had compassion on them and taught them many things. He wasn't coming to that site to teach. He wasn't planning on ministering. But because the people came and the text said they appeared to him as sheep without a shepherd. So now he puts his plans that he had for his disciples, plans that he had for himself, the reservations that he had made for that day. He now puts all of that aside and begins to minister to the needs of the people. Okay? Ministering to the needs of the people. At some point, the disciples come to him. You know the story. They say, Master, it's probably a good idea now to kind of cut things short and let the people go into the countryside so that they can get something to eat. Why? Because the hour is growing late. That means Jesus began to teach and kept on teaching without any breaks. Now they say, hey, let the people go. They can get something to eat and we can call it a wrap. But Jesus said, no. He said, you give them something to eat. And we talked about that our last time together, how he now feeds the 5,000 men, not including the women and children who was also in attendance. And he uses the disciples to participate in the miracle. Okay? He blessed the bread, and he blessed the fish, but he gave it to the disciples and said, now you distribute to the people. And as they distributed it, they realized the miracle that Jesus, not that he had performed, but that he was performing every time they put their hand in the basket. What they were pulling out was not bread, but the miracle working. They were literally touching the power of God every time they grabbed bread. Every time someone went in and got more fish. They knew, the crowd didn't know. The disciples, Jesus, and the little boy knew there was only two fish in there. So every fish after two is a miracle. You follow what I'm saying? And they had experienced this. They were a part of it. Okay? You gotta keep that as a backdrop Because now we move right into what's happening now. Okay? You got it? If you got it, say, I got it. Good. Here it is. So now it says, verse 45, every word is important. It says, immediately. Immediately what? Immediately after the feeding of the 5,000. All in the same, y'all with me? It's all happening at the same time. This is not another day. Immediately, he made his disciples get into the boat, same boat that they had came over. He said, get back in the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitude away. Okay? Doesn't that seem odd? Does that strike you as odd? Anyone? Maybe it's me. Maybe I'm odd. Maybe that's it. Pastor, you the strange one. Maybe. Jesus has been ministering hour on hour. Jesus is the focal point that brings the power of God into the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. Right? Yet, he sends the disciples away. And watch this. Jesus becomes the usher for the service. You tell me if I'm reading it right. They get in the boat while he sent the multitude away. So Jesus took on the responsibility and said, okay, have you had enough? Everybody's good? You got enough? Okay, guys, we got to start. We gotta go now. It's time to go back to your homes, and you should be able to make it because I fed you both spiritually and naturally. So you shouldn't grow weary on your way home. You should be able to make it home. And he said, imagine trying to get 20,000 people to get up and leave. Imagine trying to get 20 people. Because I'm always amazed every Sunday how y'all just hang around after church. Just hang up. I come out there, y'all, they still out here. Last Sunday, trying to get you guys to come upstairs and eat. Y'all just hanging around, talking. You see what I'm saying? Imagine trying to do anything with 20,000 people. And it would seem to me that Jesus would have had the disciples do that since they were already engaged with the crowd. They were the ones handing out the baskets. They were the ones who took up the fragments they were already working with the people. Jesus says, no, I need you guys get in the boat. Get across to the other side. While you are doing that, I will tend to this massive crowd. Okay? So immediately, you're reading this text, immediately your spidey senses must begin to tingle. I should get a better response than that. Spidey senses tingling? Parker, you know, what's his name? Parker, every time someone here would say my spidey senses, it meant he sensed something was happening. Out of the norm. He sensed something was getting ready to happen out of the norm. Y'all don't want Spider-Man? My spidey sense is tingling. All right. Anyway, maybe y'all don't have a spidey sense. Maybe that's why nothing's tingling in you guys. Anyway, I read this in my spidey. Because it just seemed odd that the roles would be reversed. That Jesus would now start dealing with 20,000 people and allow the boys to get out of Dodge. All right, but here we go. So that's what's happening, okay? Here it is. 46. When he had sent them away, meaning the crowd, meaning the disciples, he departed to the mountain to pray. Sermon aside, I think all of us here in attendance, those online, could pray more. And I don't mean pray more just to say you pray more. But let's jump to the end of the sermon for a moment. Go to the very end. The very end says, verse 52, "For they had not understood about the loaves because their heart was hardened." He specifically incorporated them in the miracle, but yet they didn't understand it. Yet they could not perceive what he had done, why he had done it, and what the miracle said about him. Right? That's the whole point of the walking on the water. They missed it. And they missed the walking on the water because they misunderstood the miracle of the 5,000, even though they were a part of it. Why? Because their heart. And when you hear, anytime you hear the Bible say their heart was hardened, that means there was unbelief. They did not believe. That's what a hard heart does. It does not believe, right? So I think we could all pray. And I think we could all pray more because all of us, no matter where we are in our Christian development and Christian maturity, can do with believing God more. You follow what I'm saying? Each and every one of us could benefit from believing God more. Because the only thing that limits the power of God being demonstrated in and through our lives is our faith in Him. That's the only thing limiting what God can do. God is not handicapped. God is not having a power shortage. And watching the news, they talk about how all the grids out west are losing power and people can't water their lawns. They can't turn on it. Why? Because the grid is losing power. Too many people are using air conditioners and sucking all of the power. And so we got to conserve energy. Right? But the Bible says of our God that our God is not slack concerning his promises, right? But he's long suffering towards us, that anything that God has promised to do, he has the power and ability to do it. So if you're not seeing it being done in your life, it is not a handicap on God. It is rather a handicap on our faith. Touch somebody and say, pray more. And when you pray, pray for your faith. Not for your wish list. Not for the things you want. Jesus said before you even pray, he said the Father already knows what you have need of. So bringing it up to him really doesn't help him. You follow what I'm saying? But what moves God is when we pray that our faith fail us not. Jesus told Peter, he said, but I prayed for you. And I prayed, listen to what he prayed for. Not that you get your fishing business. I didn't pray because your mother-in-law got sick. No. He said, I prayed, and this is what I prayed for, that your faith fail thee not. Look at somebody and say, we got to pray more. Jesus is setting the example in this miracle. Why? Because he's up to something. Your spidey sense should be tingling. He's back in prayer. All day ministering. The better part of the afternoon sending 20,000 people away. It would have been right of him to take a nap. But instead, the Bible says he went up into the mountain. to pray. And I don't know if y'all remember this. Sister Keisha may remember it. When Dr. T was here years ago, I love how she explained this miracle, and that when he went up to pray, again, you jump towards the end of the story, he comes walking on the water in the fourth watch of the night. That fourth watch, according to the Jewish time, the Jewish clock, was 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. That's what they called the fourth watch of the night, 3 in the morning till dusk. She brought it out to us that when he went up into the mountain to pray, he prayed until the fourth watch of the night. So he prayed from dusk, 6-7 o'clock, till 3 in the morning. And now we understand how he walked on water. Y'all should be getting something out of this sermon. I'm only 2 verses in, and there's nuggets all over the ground. You should just be walking around just picking up this nugget. Word of God, word of God. You follow what I'm saying? So we got to pray more. Here we go. Let's get to it. He's in the mountain praying. Now, here it is. Every word's important. Now, when evening came, they get over the boat, get to the other side. It's morning. Jesus sees the crowd. Jesus starts teaching. He teaches through lunchtime, shortly after lunchtime. Disciples says, look, they're hungry. Jesus, look, we're hungry. Let's send everybody away. They can go get something to eat. We can, I would say run to Chick-fil-A, but Chick-fil-A's not open on a Sunday, right? Even back in Jesus' time, Chick-fil-A still wasn't open. They did, and that, so the day has gone, and now he says evening has come. The thing I want you to get on evening is when the sun goes down, okay? Evening came, the boat is in the middle of the sea, Jesus is alone on the land. He comes down from the mountain from praying. He looks out, verse 48. The Bible says he sees them straining at rowing. Okay? The reason they're straining, Mark tells us, for the wind was against them. Simply meaning the sea was not calm. Storm had turned up. Okay? And it says, now about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea and would have passed them by. This is the whole sermon. You get this. You so far down the road. You follow what I'm saying? Get it? Evening. Now it's dark. Feeding of the 5,000, send the crowd away. Sunny. Bright. Everybody can see. Hey, take whatever path, road you got to take. Head on home. We'll get you in the next go round. Now evening has come. It's now dark. Right? Get this. This is important. And the boat that the disciples had got on, while it was daylight, they got in the boat. Now it's evening. It's dark. And the location of the boat is now in the middle of the sea. Right? Normally, in traveling across the northern end of the lake, the Sea of Galilee, they would have been within 1 to 2 miles of the shore of Bethsaida. But on this particular occasion, the wind had carried the boat several miles south into the middle of the lake. What should have been a relatively short, carefree journey has now eaten up the rest of the day, and now the majority of the night. What I'm telling you is not a miracle. This is geographical fact. They were literally 1 to 2 miles from the shore of Bethsaida. So he tells them, go to the other side, and he specifically says to Bethsaida. So now we have a geographic point that if I didn't have the time, I would have showed you a map of Galilee, the northern part of the Sea of Galilee. You're going around the corner, going from here to 52nd Street. That's all they had to go. But instead of it being a short trip, it's now turned into an extremely long and difficult trip. Okay? Are you with me? And it says he was on land. They're in the boat, middle of the sea, Jesus back on the shore. Jesus comes down, sees them straining, and that now they're straining, and the reason why they're putting all this effort in, now the wind is against them. And if the wind is blowing, that also means what? That means the waves are what? Lapping. So not only is the wind against you, now the waves are beating against the boat. Right? And all of this explains why now, instead of being on the other side, finding a hotel for the night, right, and in the bed watching Hulu, something streaming, something on Hulu, these guys are now, I'm giving y'all all this good stuff y'all ain't getting. I gave you the Spidey sense tingling, streaming on Hulu, because that's what y'all do on Saturday night, which is why you're late for church on Sunday morning. Let the church say. Get this, because this is the sermon. Have you ever felt like this? I want you to see yourself on the sea of God. Have you ever felt like things in your life have gone dark? Have you ever found yourself in a dark place? I'm preaching to somebody. Have you ever felt like this? Have you ever felt that your life was in the middle of nowhere? Everybody else is making progress on their way to a determined destination except you. When you look around and make an assessment of your life, where you are, what's going on in life, you feel like you're in the middle of nowhere. Right? Here it is. He was alone on land. Tell me if you've ever, let me see if I can get a witness on this one. Have you ever felt separated from the Savior? I'm being real now. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever, I just made the admonishment we should pray more. Have you ever prayed and felt like God didn't hear or wouldn't answer? I'm a witness to that. I raise my own hand to that. Countless times I have prayed and felt like my prayer went nowhere. Oftentimes I have prayed and I have felt that God was aloof or distant or separated from my current situation. Here I am trying to do what you have asked me to do, and instead of having success like you, I am dealing with failure after failure after failure. Now my life has gone dark. Now I'm in the middle of nowhere, and now I don't even feel your presence anymore. Can I get a witness? Let me keep working the list. I don't even need to ask you guys this. Get this. And they were straining because the wind was against them. Have you ever given your best and have made absolutely no progress? I mean, you've given it everything you have. And I mean, not even a little. These guys weren't closer to Bethsaida. They were actually now further away than when they started. And the Bible said they had been straining all night long. I wish I had a witness to this. Any witnesses to that? You've given something your best. You've given something your all in all. And when you take up and you look at your progress, you've gone nowhere.
Watch this. How many people have given your best, and not only have you not gone nowhere, you've actually gone further back? Am I preaching to anybody this Sunday? Here it is. No progress. Get this. We serve a cool God. You guys don't know how cool he is, but I'm going to clue you in. Look what the text says. The wind's against them. It says, now about the fourth watch of the night. Now, how many of you know Jesus is he's not only omniscient, he's all-knowing, right? Even though he wasn't with them, he knew they were in trouble. Are y'all reading this text? I'm telling you, this is why this is one of my favorite texts. It is coming fourth watch of the night, 3 a.m. Not only does he know they are in trouble, get this. This is Bible studies, Wednesday night, James chapter 1. Watch this. He knew he was sending them into the storm. Oh my goodness. I need a real church to preach. Y'all don't get this. Let's go back up to verse 45, feeding of the 5,000. And this word immediately almost sounds like abruptly, like Jesus broke it up immediately. Boys, that's enough. Put this back. Get in the boat. You guys meet me over. It's like he broke it up, right? Made the boys get in the boat to go to Bethsaida, knowing a storm was brewing on the sea. This is what James says. Count it all joy. I wish I had a real thing. This is Bible study in the Sunday sermon working together. When you fall into divers or various trials, why? Knowing this is that, if you're not on Wednesday night, you better get on. This is the word of God working. He sent the storm and he sent the disciples into the storm. Am I helping anybody? If I stop right now, have I already preached? If I stop right now, you got to be a witness. I've already preached. Get this. Here's the cool point on Jesus. Get it. Then verse 48, you'll miss it. Fourth watch of the night. Get this. And he comes walking to them on the sea. Are you reading that? Everybody read it. Don't look at me. Everybody's head should be down. You got to read this. Get my man a Bible who just came in. He's got to read this. Miracle's for him. If he doesn't have a Bible, get him one. Give him your phone. Listen, verse 48. He saw them straying at rowing. The wind was against them. Fourth watch, late at night, 3 a.m, he came to them, and he came walking on the sea. Here's the cool point. Don't miss it. Your Savior is cool. Get this. And would have passed them by. You get it, Aunt Mary? It's a storm on the sea. The boys and the boat are in trouble. Jesus, first thing you got to get, notice what the text said. He came walking. Have you guys ever watched the news of any of those, you know, somebody done got bit by a shark or their boats, all that? When the Coast Guard come, they come in hot. The boat, they come, their boat's going fast. The helicopters, because they're trying to get there, why? In a hurry for fear they what? They drown. Seconds matter. So you don't have time to dilly-dally out to them and see what the problem. Those cats are gone. So many latitude longitude, get there. That boat's in trouble and their lives at stake. And they come in a hurry, but not Jesus. You tell me if I'm reading the Bible wrong. Come on, Brother Willow, only one help. The text said he came walking. Now the boat is in the middle of the sea, so it's not the short 1 or 2 miles that it was. That now, instead of going north to Bethsaida, now he's got a point for the middle of the sea, which is much further. He comes walking, but that he's cool, but this makes him cooler. Get what the text is saying. And if you read this in other translation, it'll help bring it out. The text says, so again, people in trouble, rescue, emergency team, they get there in a hurry, right? And they always go right to the ship. It's right where to go, right? When you read this text, Jesus, while he's going in the general direction of the ship, right? Which is me, that's the ship. I'm going to the ship. The text says Jesus walking on the water. He gets close to the ship and then he turns. For the text said he would have passed them by. Do you follow what I'm, do you get what Mark is trying to get us to see? That he didn't go and take a rescue posture, which would have meant instead of walking, running. Well, come on, Jesus, don't walk, run, just do the Thomas thing, show up, just appear, behold, just, you know, do a God thing. But no, he comes walking. Not only does he comes walking, but the direction of his walking causes them to see that he's not walking to the boat to rescue. Watch this. He's walking by the boat. Watch this. So they can see him. Oh my goodness, I wish I had a real church. I wish I had my dad here this Sunday. My dad be laying in the floor. Y'all be up here trying to get my dad up off, because my dad would get it. Have you ever felt like this? That even though you have prayed to Jesus, Jesus, in response to your situation, is offering no assistance. And the only thing that he does, unlike when he was on the shore and he prayed, bless the bread, bless the fish, and performed a miracle. This time, while you're in a dark place, this time, while you're making no progress, this time, where you're either further back than when you started, Jesus comes to the scene, but offers no help. Because he wants you to see that he's there. Look at somebody and say, do you see him? Yeah. Get this. Here it is, verse 49. Get it. The disciples saw him walking by on the sea. Right? Here it is. But they supposed it was a ghost and began to cry out, probably out of fear. The question for the church is, when, as James has warned us, that we fall into diverse trials, when we are tested by the Lord, the question is, who or what do you see? That's the question. The whole sermon hangs on how you answer that question. The disciples, now remember, they had just experienced a miracle with the feeding of the 5,000. Here we are, less than 12 hours later. Here we are. Now they're in a predicament, and Jesus is walking by. Get this, and they said it was a ghost. Get this. Here it is. Can you recognize Jesus? Watch this. In the middle of your storm. That's the sermon. How you answer that question will determine how you receive this message. Can you recognize Jesus in the middle of a storm that he has sent you into? I wish I had a real church. Now, this does not apply to the storms you get your, oh my goodness. Look, I already helped you. I told you earlier in the sermon what? You better pray more. Some of the storms you're facing have been self-induced. And this is why I love God, because guess what? He'll get you out of that too. Why? Because he loves you. Then there are other storms that the teacher has induced, because he's trying to assess where you are in the maturity of your faith. We've already had a class on faith yesterday. Now I want to see how much of the lesson you have learned and are now able to apply. Now I've got you out in the middle of the sea, middle of nowhere, no fish, no bread, no Savior in your midst. How are you going to respond now? These guys got in trouble, and in the middle of the test, let me tell you what they saw. They saw the waves and the water spilling over into the boat. That's what they saw. Here it is. Using all their senses, they heard and felt the wind blowing, that stern just bouncing up in the, that wind just rocking that boat. This is what they saw when they were in the storm. Then they saw what they perceived to be a ghost. Instead of being able to recognize Jesus clearly, right? This is not a guy, these aren't guys who just followed him on the hit parade. They lived with Jesus. They didn't just catch up with him on the Sabbath. They were with him Monday through Friday, Saturday and Sunday. Yet they were unable to recognize him in the storm. How many of you have failed to recognize Jesus in the middle of your storm? And he's walking right by. Preparing for the sermon, my mind went to, pass me not, O gentle Savior. Right? Lord, I just want you to hear my question. While on others thou art calling. Please, Lord, don't what? Don't pass me by. The question, if he did pass by, could you recognize him? Would you know that he was there? Or would you only see the effects of the storm? Right? If you got it, say, I got it. That's the whole sermon right there. Here it is. Let's get out of it. Verse 50. They all saw him and were troubled, meaning they were afraid. They were afraid. They thought it was a ghost. Now their mind's playing tricks on them. And how many know when you're physically exhausted, mentally tired, and emotionally worn out, your mind starts playing tricks on you? You follow what I'm saying? Now, look at your Bible working. Now you understand why Jesus, when the boys came back from the missionary trip, said what? Let's go get some what? Rest. Rest. One of your greatest weapons in doing ministry in the kingdom of God is spelled R-E-S, get some rest. That's not me, that's the word of God. Jesus said, let's go to the other side and get some. Jesus said that to the boys. Right? And so when I joke about, yeah, we stayed up all night watching Hulu and all that, half of me is joking, but the other half is not. Because we don't know what we will encounter as a ministry. And if you have not taken advantage of the downtime to rest, we'll find ourselves in the middle of a storm and you unable to operate your gift simply because you're tired. You're physically tired. You've been rowing all night. You're mentally tired because you can't understand what in the world is going on. We should have been there. You're emotionally worn out because you refuse to cast your cares on the Lord. So you can't get sleep at night because you're up all night either trying to fix it yourself or streaming the Rings of Power. But the new episode came out Friday. And tonight, y'all know y'all watching House of Dragons. I'm not saying don't watch it. I'm saying that late at night, maybe you ought to get it Monday or so. Get some rest somewhere in the course of your week. Somebody say, preach, Pastor Ford. That's all I'm doing. I'm giving it to you straight. No chaser this Sunday. Here it is. I'm finished. They saw him. They were troubled. And this is what I love. This is how you know your God's good. It says, but immediately, watch this. Go back to verse what? 45. Immediately he what? Sent them away. Verse 45. Now here we are in verse 50 and what? Immediately. Do you get what I'm saying? Just as fast as he sent you into the test, is with the same speed, if not faster, he'll rescue you out of the storm. I thought I'd get a better response than that. Immediately, he's put them in the boat, sent them into the storm. When they cried out because they were fear of drowning, fear he was a ghost, the text said, immediately. Here it is. Immediately, he talked with them. This is what he said. This is your praise point. Sermon over. Get this and we're done. Be of good cheer. Stop worrying about what's happening. Oh my goodness. That's worth the whole sermon right there. How many of us are in church listening to the sermon, yet worried about something that's going on? Jesus says, be of good cheer. Jesus says, stop worrying. The word of God comes in the New Testament and says what? Be anxious for nothing. Jesus said, I sent you into the storm. I orchestrated the storm, and once you recognize who I am going to be the reason by which you get out of the storm, so be of good cheer. Get this. He says, because it is I'm not a ghost. I'm not the wind. I'm not the wave. It is I. The Exodus account tells us when God looked for a name for himself. He had just always been God and therefore did not require a name. But now, Moses said, if I go down to the children of Israel, who shall I say? How do I refer to the God of their father? I said, well, wait a minute. I've never had a name before. Josh, I've never needed a name before. I'm just God. That's just who I am. That's just what I do. But, seeing as though this people does not know me or feel connected to me as I was with their fathers, maybe I've got to answer Moses' question. So God thought about it, said, Moses, here you go. Tell them, I am who I am. Look at somebody and say, that's a lot of eyes. Preach it the other way. Go with this. Say, dot those I's, cross those T's. That's for all the kids in school. Obviously, y'all not, because y'all miss that. He tells Moses, he said, tell the people, I am who I am, Keisha. So when you go back down, just tell them that I am has sent. That is not the Hebrews' name for God. Nor is that the disciples' name for God. But that is God's name for himself. He told Moses and the Israelites, I am that I am. And when he came to the boys, in the middle of the storm, in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, pitch black everywhere, they thought he was a ghost. But Jesus, tying the word of God together, said, be of good cheer. It is I. Be of good cheer. I am is here. The God of your fathers. The God who made heaven and earth. The God who caused the storm. The God. Help me, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me. I am is here. The same God. This is where I wish I had a real church. The same God that brought Israel out of Egypt and 400 years of bondage. The same God that brought Israel across the Red Sea on dry land. The same God that brought down the walls of Jericho. I am. Touch three people and just tell them, I am is here. Yes, that's why I'm of good cheer. That's why I can count it all joy. I am is here. I can count it all joy. The Lord is with me. I can give the Lord a praise. He's here right now. Somebody give him a praise. Here it is. This is what you have to do. This is what I have to do. Verse 51 says, and he got into the boat. Once you recognize who he really is and what he can really do, all you've got to do is invite him into the boat. The reason why you want to invite him in the boat, read what the text says. As soon as I wish I had a real church. He didn't have to pray. He didn't have to look up to heaven. But the Bible says as soon as drop down into the boat, Bob. The wind ceased. The water laid down. They said, I am is here. I am is here. You read the story in another, one of the other gospels. Immediately, the boat was at shore. Watch this. What they could not do, 12 guys rowing, straining, giving it all they got, Jesus did with one step. Get it? And that's what he'll do in your life. If you just invite him into your boat. And look, I know your boat is messy because the disciples' boat, when you get in trouble, you just start grabbing for any and everything. The boat was a mess, but it didn't stop Jesus from getting in the boat. Jermaine always yells at me when people stop by the house unexpectedly. She always gets on me because had she known, she could have prepared the house. Got things better. Or, as we often do, at least put all the junk in a room with a door you can close. Right? That's how we clean it up at the fourth house. Right? But if I don't give her the heads up, she can't get it done. You don't have to clean up to invite Jesus into your boat. And I think that's important because so many people are trying to clean up their life, trying to get the boat in order before they invite him in. Listen to me. You don't have that kind of time. If you don't get him in the boat now, you're not going to make it through the storm. You don't invite him into your life today. This is what the Word of God says. The Word of God says, the day you hear my voice, I wish I had a real church. Harden not your tomorrow's not promised. The next storm may never come. You may not make it to it. Today.
Invite them in the boat.
Lord, it's not pretty. It's not pretty. I'm not pretty. What I've been doing is not pretty. Doesn't matter. Guess what? Guess what? He already knows. Mother Trainee, he already knows. He knows. That's why he came walking by your boat. So that you could see him. Say, Jesus, would you enter my boat? Lord, would you come into my life? My messy situation, I got junk and trash everywhere. But if you'll come into my boat, I believe your presence alone would calm the winds in my life. Lord, I'm tired. I can't row any further. But if you would come into my boat, I believe the waves would bow down to you. And I'm not talking about the waves of the sea. I'm talking about the waves of opposition coming up against me. If you would just come into my boat. Everything I've been failing at, I believe you could turn around. If you would just enter my boat. Shall we all stand? Maybe here this Sunday. Maybe this Sunday online you're streaming in. You said, oh my God. I'm so glad I tuned in to Taylor Tabernacle this morning. I'm in the middle of a storm, Shanita. I got stuff fighting me on every side. Instead of being where I had hoped to be, doing the things I had dreamed of doing, now I'm doing stuff and I'm not even proud of it. And I need the Savior to get in my boat. I need the kind of faith that will invite the water walker into my life. I know you're here this Sunday. That's why this was my assignment to preach it. He said, go and tell somebody. Just tell them these words. He said, tell them, be of good cheer. I am is here. He's right here. He's walking past your boat right now. Won't you invite him in? Every head bowed, every eye closed. He's here now. He's here now in this sanctuary. He's here now in whatever space you're viewing from. Your home, your workplace, your car. Just look around. I am is walking by. Why don't you reach out now? Reach out to him. Reach out to I am. Just say, Lord, come on, get in my boat. Get in my life. Get in my affairs. Get in my finances. Get in my relationship. Come on, get in my boat. I'm afraid I'm about to drown. Lord, if I bob and go under this water one more time, I may not come back up. I may not make it till next Sunday. Enter my boat. Enter my heart. Give me the faith to believe that you're able to do just what you promised you would do. if I only believe. Our God and our Father, the Ancient of Days, the one who possesses unlimited power, the omnipotent and omniscient one, we turn our hearts to you. Lord, where can we go? And to whom shall we turn? Thou alone has the words of eternal life. Enter our boats. Enter our ships. Enter our lives. So that we don't sail aimlessly through this life. But become the captain of my soul. Become the one who leads, guides, and shows me the path that I ought to take. Lord, this Sunday I invite you. I invite you into my boat. I invite you into my life. I invite you into my heart. Now I can be of good cheer. Now I can rejoice and be glad because Christ has entered my life. If you have not accepted Christ Jesus as your personal Savior, today's the day. This hour, this 11 o'clock hour is the hour. He'll enter your boat if you ask Him. He'll step over the side if you just ask Him. He'll save you from your sins, give you eternal life, and fill you with the presence of His Holy Spirit. And all you got to do is invite Him into your boat. Do it now. With every head bowed and every eye closed. You at home, you at work, you in your car. Invite Him in right now, right now, right now. Lord, come into my boat. So that I can experience the joy of salvation. Lord, we thank you for dying for us on Calvary's cross. Thank you for shedding your holy, righteous blood on our behalf. And now we are no longer debtors to sin, but we are free by the power and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And for that, we give you praise. God bless you, Taylor. If the Lord is on your boat this Sunday, why not put your hands together and thank Him? I believe those boys were so happy when Jesus got in that boat. They said, oh my goodness. They started speaking in all types of tongues. They started praising God because Jesus was now in the boat. Are you glad He's on the boat? Are you glad He's in your life? Are you glad that He's the captain of your soul? Are you glad that He's steering, guiding, and directing you? That's your testimony. Give Him the best praise you got. Give Him the best praise you have. Give Him the best praise, the best praise, the best praise.
Good morning, church. At this time, we're going to do our offering. We will gather to worship through giving this morning, and you may give through one of three ways, including text to give, online giving through our website, or also by using U.S. Postal Mail. To give by text message, text the code TAYLOR61 to phone number 73256, and you will receive a link and instructions. To give through our website, please go to taylortabernacle.com/giving and follow the instructions. To give by U.S. mail, please send your check or money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA 19139. For those gathered with us in the sanctuary today, you will find two offering baskets next to the side ramp door, one for your tithes and offerings and one for the preacher. Please place your sealed envelopes in the baskets as you exit the sanctuary. As always, we thank you for your continued support. And now we'll have our announcements by our pastor.
Good morning and God bless you. I know you weren't expecting to see me back so soon, but there you go. Told you your spidey sense should have been tingling. Hey, the month of October, October 2nd will be the first Sunday in October, and as is our custom, we will be celebrating communion, the Lord's Supper. So I'm going to ask that you come prepared for that in 2 weeks. Also, I wanted to share this with you. On Saturday, October 15th, we're going to be celebrating my dad's 85th birthday party. Amen. Saturday, October 15th, from 1 to 4 p.m., it'll take place in the Fellowship Hall of Tri-Stone Pentecostal Church. And as many of you know, that was the church my dad founded over 50 years ago. The time will be 1 to 4. And I'm sharing this with the broad church because if you would like to attend, simply RSVP to this number, 718-971-0879. And Cass, make sure I add that to the announcement. I didn't have that on there when we wrote this up. But just send that if you want to come and if you're able to come. Just want to get it out to you because it'll be here before we know it. So many of you have been asking about my dad. And so we've finally been able to make it so he's able to travel again. So he's coming back up to the city. And, you know, 85 years is a lot of years for this last year. We didn't think he would make it to 85, to be quite frank about it. But the Lord has blessed him and has restored his strength. So that's that. It'll be in the announcement. If you want to attend, just text to that number. Now, get this. He's also going to be in worship with us that next Sunday, October 16th. So if you can't come to the birthday, just come to church on Sunday. If anything we know about my dad loves church. As he says, he loves the saints of God. So he'll be with us on October 16th. And the big thing about October 16th will be our first annual Soil to Sanctuary Farmers Market. Okay. That's coming up. You saw the flyers out last Sunday. We had them in the seats. We'll be sure to send, I believe that's already gone out electronically to you. So let me read this little write up so we can get a sense of the magnitude of what we're trying to accomplish here. It'll be the 16th. It'll be immediately following our morning service, 12 to 2. It'll be on our church sidewalks like we've done in the past this year. We will have food from our garden. We will have food coming up from the south. We will have stone grits being sent up from South Carolina, collard greens and other vegetables coming up from North Carolina. Homemade honey will be coming up from Virginia. And we're also working with some local farmers to determine what produce they will be bringing as well. In addition, we will have local vendors with tables as well. We're inviting small businesses or those with a side hustle, however you want to do it. But if you are an entrepreneur and you have a product or service that you offer to the community, you're welcome to have a table. On that table, you can put up your products, you can put up your literature, whatever, and let people know about what you're doing from an entrepreneurial perspective. So vendors will be out here as well. We're also going to have music going on. So last Sunday, as you guys well know, Dr. Brown was here, the leader of the Black Church Farm Security Network. He was so impressed by what he experienced during his time with us. He is sending up his entire staff. had an opportunity to get on the phone call with them on Friday. And they informed, they said, look, Pastor Ford, Dr. Brown has told us about what went on last Sunday. He's given us permit. They're bringing a DJ. They're bringing some kind of games, some kind of farming games. I don't know what they are, but they're bringing that. They're bringing signage. They're going to help us with the food. We're going to have free food for folks to eat and all that good stuff. I mean, they're coming out. They're coming up 2 weeks ahead of time to visit, to see the space, see what's all going on. And their only request was that I have 3 cheesesteaks ready. I said, you know what? That I can do. Now, whether or not I don't eat one before y'all get, that might be the harder part, but we will have cheesesteaks ready. But I'm telling you, these guys are pulling out all of the stocks. Dr. Brown has said, look, y'all go up there and let's just be a blessing. So we're going to have a great giant block party. Now, get this. Here's the thing. This is where it's different from what things we've done outside in the past. They're asking us to have 75 to 100 people come during the 2-hour period. So that's what we got to do. We've got to invite our family and our friends. Here's the important thing. This is not just a people gathering event. We need our family and friends to come and purchase these items. It is when you purchase them that we bless black farmers in the South. Okay? They're canning, they're preparing their product, they're shipping costs to get it up here to us. And when we buy those items, that's how you bless black farms in the South. When you buy our items, from, you know, every Sunday, what, we give the food away. But this particular Sunday, we're going to gather our harvest and sell it. This is how we create sustainability in our garden. That's how we ensure we have the money next year to buy seed, to buy dirt, to buy anything that's needed. This is how we do it. Now we're going to sell our items at this farmer's market. We want you to come and buy whatever small business vendors come. If they're selling jewelry, art, come bring a couple dollars and spend it at this farmer's market. That's how you create sustainability for all of those who are participating. The farmers, our garden, the small business vendors. Okay? So I want you to come. So don't do all your grocery, your produce shopping at the supermarket that weekend. This weekend, hey, I'm coming here. I'm going to get my collard greens here, my tomatoes, the potatoes, yams, all that. Hey, I'm going to get it at the farmer's market. And I'm going to let that go back and support black church gardens, black farmers, and small businesses in and around Philadelphia. So you guys, you with me on that? So I got you to get, this is not just, I need people to come. We need the people to come, and we need them to bring 20, 30, 40, whatever it is, whatever they spend normally in the grocery store for their fresh produce, that Sunday come and spend it at our farmer's market. Are you with me on that? Okay. And so if you have any questions about the event, we're planning, we're preparing now. Deaconess Kamala Lyons is our point person. So if you are here or if you know of someone and they have a small business and you think they would like to be a vendor during our farmer's market, please get in touch with Sister Kamala Lyons. I'm going to ask you to be responsive to whatever request, because just like you guys went through all that effort to prepare for the anniversary, we got to do it all over again. So we're going to have people coming, and we're going to have a lot of guests that Sunday morning because my dad's back in town. A lot of his family, his friends, they're going to come and worship with him. So we got to be ready for the Sunday worship service and then go right outside and be prepared for the farmer's market. Amen. So it's an undertaking. Okay. And this is something we can't afford to have anyone sitting on the sidelines. I literally need the entire membership to get behind this, get behind in the planning and preparing. Get behind it in the day of, making sure your family, your friends come out, that they're bringing money to support. You follow what I'm saying? And then obviously we'll have to break down and clean up and all that fun stuff. So we got to do it all over again. But it's going to be worth it. It's an opportunity that we can directly make an investment into all of those that are providing healthy produce in our community. Amen?
Any questions about that? Anybody have any initial questions or what have you? If you do, I'll take them now. But if not, remember, Sister Kim will be your point person. Get in touch with her and whatever we need and whatever we're trying to do in preparation for this event. She'll be guiding us in that. Amen. Okay, with that, we're done. We're going to stand and we're going to be dismissed. I'm going to ask my wife to come, the first lady to come. I'm going to ask her to dismiss us this Sunday. My voice is fading fast. I'm going to ask her to come. She'll dismiss us.
All hearts and minds are clear. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful Sunday. We thank you for your word, which was so eloquently and well delivered, Lord. We know it is a word for us to not only think on today, but for the remainder of the week until we shall meet back here again. Lord, keep us one with one another. Keep love in our hearts. Keep love on board. Lord, let us get back to our destinations safely, back to our homes. Bless those who were not able to come and bless those who are here. Lord, see to it that we get back here once again next week together, to fellowship together, to work together, to hear the word of God and walk accordingly. Lord, we ask these in all things in our Savior, Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
God bless you, Taylor.